The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. After 7, and we have Carol in Talent. Carol, hopefully your roof didn't blow off yesterday and all that wind, but what did happen with the power? I'm kind of curious because we still have about 500 people without power, 500 customers here in Southern Oregon.
Well, evidently, the number I gave you was wrong because it must have popped off once more or a few more times at night after I went to bed.
Okay, how many times did the power go off and on that night? Because it went off in the afternoon when they had the big wind first come up. Now, I'm over by Roxanne or by Foothill Boulevard, kind of in that neighborhood of Medford. And we had the wind was insane, and it took the power down just for quick blips about 3-4 times. That's all we had. Everything else stayed on. But what was it like for you?
Well, I had 28 times, but then I have to add another 129 times, and maybe that's all I know about because I went to bed.
Uh-huh.
It went off about 4:30 first, and it just and it popped on and off. It popped off at least 29 times.
Were they long outages, or like a second at a time, and it comes back on? You know, that kind of thing.
It varies. No, there were some longer periods of time. It varied quite a bit. Some popped on and off real quick. Some popped off and stayed off for a while. There were some longer outages in between shorter outages.
Yeah, so something tells me that your experience is not unusual in that neck of the woods, but a lot of problems.
No, it's not. It's about the fourth or fifth time the power's gone out.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious. Did you ever get a surge protector put on your HVAC? I don't know if you have air conditioning or a heat pump or something like that.
Yeah, I do have air conditioner and heat pump. Yeah, I do.
Randall over at Advanced Air was talking about the other day given how unstable the grid has starting to be, that would be a good idea to be looking more into surge protectors and things like that to protect the very expensive equipment.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
I tried to unplug like computer, microwaves. Mm-hmm. I tried a bunch of that stuff to unplug, but
maybe investing in some uninterruptible power supplies that will protect that equipment so you don't have to unplug it. If the power goes out, the UPS starts, and then you're on battery power a little bit back and forth, so it'll do a little backup. Maybe the television and internet connection too, for that matter. All right, Carol, appreciate it. Glad you made through it. Wow. Yeah, 28, 29 times. But that wind was intense last night. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
This is Minor Dave.
Yeah, Dave.
This is Pet Peeve Tuesday.
It's not Pet Peeve. It's Pebble in Your Shoe. Get the detail.
Well, to me, it's a pet peeve.
Okay.
Sorry about that. But I'm having trouble getting a hold of the fire marshal for Siskiyou County because we're in high fire range. I found out he could, from a fire guy, that he could order KRRC and Kennewick Construction Company to open up Lakeview Road due to the fact that if we had a fire on Edgar Biswick, we'd be trapped in here.
Oh, yeah, you'd only have one way in and out of one way in and out of your neighborhood right now, right? That's all.
Right. Hmm. Only one way in and out. And we need that. We need Lakeview Road opened.
So, who's the Siskiyou County Fire Marshal?
Right, Siskiyou County Fire Marshal. Which, when you look it up, it gives you the state fire marshal in Sacramento.
Oh, maybe. Well, maybe it's a state position. Maybe that's it. Maybe there's not a county fire marshal.
Well, they have to have somebody here locally because the state fire marshal is in Sacramento.
Yeah, I know. All right. Well, why don't you start in Sacramento and work your way down then? How about that?
Well, I've tried to get a hold of the one in Sacramento. I can't find an email address to email him, and all I can get is a phone number, and he's impossible to get on the phone.
Yeah, all right. So here's the next question I'm going to say. You have Doug LaMalfa Doug LaMalfa is your congressman. Is there and given that this was a federal project here with the dam removal, see if you can get LaMalfa on it. I would be willing to bet you that LaMalfa might be willing to grease a few skids or so, especially when you just bring up health, safety, and welfare issues. Okay, Dave? Try that.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. It is 9 minutes after 7. Bob Tiernan's supposed to call me here in the next few minutes. Of course, he ran for governor a couple of years ago. Used to be an Oregon Republican Party chair. And he's hanging out over at the RNC convention. Of course, a big challenge I've noticed is that people trying to get Hugh Hewitt this morning was trying to talk to somebody in and out of the convention and trying to get a call in and out of the place. I guess it's just, overloaded. But hopefully Bob will make it through. We'll see if we can get a report on what's been going on.
The Sherm's Markets Jackson County Fair. It's an ag venture. July 16th through the 21st. Enjoy great entertainment, food, 4-H FFA exhibits, carnival rides and games, and more. The Bi-Mart Amphitheater is going to be exciting all week. Hunter Communications presents 38 Special. Just hold on. Wolf Performance, Field Mortgage, and Martin Outdoor Property Group present Josh Turner.
Just to be your man.
Lithia Dodge presents Clay Walker.
She won't be lonely.
Sign Dude presents Queen Nation. Lawn seats are free with fair admission, but you're going to want to get close for these. Get your reserved seats now at theexpo.com. It's the Sherm's Markets Jackson County Fair, July 16th through the 21st. It's an ag venture. Get tickets now at theexpo.com. That's theexpo.com.
106.3 KMED and 99.3 KBXG weather, sponsored by Advanced Air and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to deliver intelligent heating and cooling solutions and award-winning service. Visit myadvancedair.com.
Sunny and hot again today for the Rogue Valley. We're hitting a high of 105 and 62 for our overnight low. Little chance of thunderstorms today, but we will be breezy. Heat advisory in effect until 8 p.m. and red flag warning in effect 2 to 8 p.m. as well. For NBC 5 News, I'm Natalie Serna.
11 minutes after 7. I was reading an exchange with Jerome Powell. He's the head of the Fed, Fed chairman. Of course, a political animal. David Rubenstein was talking with him. And I got this off of mishtalk.com. Mishtalk is an excellent, excellent financial blogger. I keep up on a lot of things with him. And David Rubenstein says, if you worry about inflation, as you obviously are, what about the debt that the United States has? We have $35 trillion of outstanding government indebtedness, and we're adding about $1.6 to $2 trillion more or less every year. Aren't you worried about that on the impact to the economy of inflation? So this is what Jerome says. Jerome says, I am very worried over time about the deficits that we are running. It's not the Fed's job. We don't give Congress advice, but just let me say that we are on an unsustainable path. That doesn't mean that the level of debt we have is unsustainable. It is not. But the path we are on, we are running large deficits at a time of full employment and healthy growth. It's not sustainable over time. And we really need to work on that. I would hope that this is a top-line issue for elected people whose job it is. It's not our job. And I believe that, and I do talk to quite a few of our elected officials in Congress, and I think that there is a rising sense that it's time to do something about that. It will take bipartisan action to address. Ha, ha, ha. He didn't say the ha, ha, ha. That's kind of me injecting this. And it's interesting. It doesn't matter. Well, the bipartisan problem is that there is no bipartisan agreement to spend less. There just isn't. And this is where we find ourselves right now. And Mr. Gold is reflecting that. Gold popped $35 this morning. The Treasury yield, or the interest rate on Treasury bonds, is going up. And the money people are starting to figure out, oh my gosh, they're not going to get control of this. We don't think that anyone's going to get control of it. Even the Trump administration coming in would be talking about tax cuts. But would there be spending cuts? Nobody wants to talk about spending cuts. So gold up to $24.42 right now as we speak. And you know what I'm going to say? If you don't have any gold, you should have some. It's just my personal suggestion. I'm not a financial advisor, but talk to your financial advisor. And if you're looking to preserve wealth, because we could be at a time which we're talking about return of capital, talk to Jay Austin and Company, gold and silver buyers. Ashland, 1632 Ashland Street, 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass. Maybe you want to sell at 2440 or 2450 or whatever the case might be. Maybe you bought it at 400. It could be. But one way or the other, if you haven't had any gold, several thousand years of experience that show that gold is a long-term preservation of capital and wealth, okay? Jay Austin & Company, gold and silver buyers, the recognized experts here in town. Just go talk to them this morning, 1632 Ashland Street or 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass. Call 482-3715, okay?
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros and Full Service Auto Repair.
Picking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
And I remember years ago, I used to, you know, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, college dropouts used to bother me a little bit. I wouldn't have admitted it at the time, but now not only does it not bother me, I'm proud of it because it defines me. That work ethic defined me. That independence defines me. My parents not being around every day to guide me because they were working to survive and make a better life for their children, that defines me too. This is what made J.D. Vance. Obviously, this is a man of great intelligence and street smarts and life experience. And I think probably that combination is what appealed to Donald Trump, if I had to guess.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
Hey, ready to give your home a summer makeover without breaking the bank? Well, our friends at Blinds.com, they have you covered. With their Prime Time for Savings last chance sale, it's happening right now. Shop huge discounts on premium, customizable window treatments. Now, I love Blinds.com. Why? They invented the better way to shop for energy-saving blinds and shutters and motorized options and even cooling outdoor shades online. Blinds.com. They also offer free professional design consultations. They can help make any minor project, like updating a window treatment, it'll have a major impact on your home's decor. Plus, you get unlimited window treatments installed for one low cost. You can rest assured with Blinds.com. They have their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Over 2.5 million customers, over 25 million windows covered. Go to Blinds.com. Their Prime Time for Savings last chance sale right now, up to 45% off. Up to 45% off only for a limited time at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You're hearing the Bill Meyer Show on Southern Oregon's home for conservative talk. Mornings on KMED at 99.3 KBXG. Call Bill at 770-5633. That's 770-KMED. Here's Bill Meyer.
17 after 6. Well, Mean Boss Bob did not call me. Bob Tierney didn't call me. I tried calling Carrie McQuiston. Remember her? Yeah, remember when she was running for office a little earlier? And other people, everybody, all my contacts over at the Republican National Convention, the RNC, I don't know, maybe it's too early. Let's see, it's 9:17 in the morning. They may be hungover. Maybe it's hungover. Does it look like a drinking crowd over at the RNC? I've been told that it is very difficult to get calls and internet in and out of there sometimes of the day, but people are pretty busy. But I mean, the convention's not even going on. Now we know that the Democratic National Convention, that's full of gin, hookers, and weed. We probably don't have the same crowd at the RNC, right? Yeah, it's not that sort of thing. No gin, hookers, and weed. It could be. But maybe Bob will check back in. We'll see. 770-5633, 770-KMED. We can just go back to Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday calls. If there's something on your mind that you would like to talk about, let's just do it. 770-5633-770-KMED. They're making a big deal about the Trump assassination, saying that there is now about 90-something seconds between the time that this was discovered and when the shooter was taken out, that there was enough time to take the shooter out instead of the total failure of having the person you're protecting take a bullet. Of course, I must say that President Trump now has tons of street cred right now. You know, he has street cred with the rappers right now because he's a convicted felon and he took a bullet, right? You know, they tried to Tupac him, you know, all that kind of stuff. But in all seriousness, I think it's worse with this would-be assassin. Gateway Pundit reporting today Trump's would-be assassin spotted on roof by officer half an hour before the attack. New details have emerged about the moments leading up to the assassination attempt on former President Donald Trump. And it was brought to light by Pittsburgh, once again, this is in the Gateway Pundit, Pittsburgh's WPXI, and it reveals that the would-be assassin was spotted on the rooftop 30 minutes before he opened fire at Trump. Law enforcement knew about the Trump shooter, did nothing apparently. Channel 11's Nicole Ford confirmed that Beaver County's ESU team had 8 members at the rally, including snipers and spotters, according to Ford sources. One of them noted a suspicious man on a roof near the rally at 5:45. So that was about 23 minutes before the shots rang out, right? Called it in, took a picture of the person. And KPXI had learned that from our sources that the person was Thomas Crooks. We're told it's not clear if Crooks had a gun with him at that point. According to multiple sources, a law enforcement officer had also previously seen Crooks on the ground and called him in as a suspicious person with a picture prior to 5:45. Now, remember, the shooting happened at about 6:11 East Coast time, right? You know, shortly after 3 o'clock on the West Coast, right? So they saw him. They thought he was suspicious. He was up on the roof there. You see, that's the sort of thing that I was wondering all along. Whether that was a Democratic candidate or a Republican candidate, one would have thought that anybody showing interest of getting up on the roof and looking suspicious would have been checked out and would have been taken out, or certainly would have been questioned in one way or the other. I don't know. That's a big pebble in the shoe of America right now, really. So we can talk about that and other things on your mind. So when you hear the 90-second talk here, they had 90 seconds to take him out. No, they had about a half hour that they could have done something about it had someone been a little more curious. Just saying. 21 after 7, let me grab phones because it's open phones on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. What's bugging you? Good morning. Hi.
Hello.
Hey, Jean. There's always something bugging you. Go ahead.
Oh, what's bugging me is the fact that, for one thing, President Trump should be turned so you can see where the bandage is on his ear. That ought to help.
Mm-hmm.
But the loyalist Democrats have been told everything Biden says came out of President Trump's mouth. And so he's getting blamed for all the crap that Biden has been spouting.
Well, it's kind of hard to talk about trying to unite the country when you're still more or less talking, you know, putting a bullseye on someone, on your political opponent. It's kind of hard.
Well, let's put it this way. They've been putting a bullseye on President Trump since 2016 when they tried framing him, and they have tried all the way along, and they finally found a...
something they thought would stick. Yeah.
Leftist.
Mm-hmm.
That will.
Well, I'm still not sure about the political orientation of this shooter. But I know that there was the talk about $15 to progressive things, but supposedly a registered Republican. It could be, you know, if he wasn't a fan of President Trump, it could have been one of those things like what Republicans have done, you know, Operation Chaos. You register for the other team and try to cause chaos in their primary. Maybe he was doing something like that. We just don't know at this point. They did get into the phone, though, Gene. They got into his phone, so we'll see if any information comes out. Of course, our current FBI, I don't know if we're ever going to know the whole truth about much of anything. And we go to line 4. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Good morning. This is James in Selma.
Hello, James. What's on your mind?
Yeah, the Gateway Pundit, they also had an article about that he purchased a ladder and 50 rounds of ammo at the morning of the rally.
Mm-hmm.
And it says CNN in this article, it says CNN wrote it. It says that he bought a 5-foot ladder from Home Depot. But then they got a picture, and it's a 10-foot ladder, and it's sitting up against the building, and that's no 5-foot ladder. And then I heard that inside that building was where the local police were stationed there, so he was on top of that building where the police were, which don't really make sense.
There's a lot that doesn't make sense there. A lot of sense. Not making sense at all. Thanks, James. 770-5633. Let me go to line three. I'm going to go in reverse order instead of 1, 2, 3, 4. Hi, good morning. Bill. Who's this?
Hey, Bill. This is Earl from Central Point.
Good morning, Earl.
Hey, my pebble in my shoe for today is I watched the convention last night.
Uh-huh.
And it was good up till the point they got the idiot from the Teamsters Union on there. And obviously, I'm not a big union person because look at what the teachers union's been doing to us for years now.
Hey, wait a minute. Hey, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Dude, don't mess with the Teamsters, okay?
Teamsters I'm not so much unsettled about because uh-huh. my dad was a Teamster. He was a truck driver. But the teachers unions, which is a union too, has done more damage to this country than anybody else.
Yeah, except that the teachers union, well, first off, I don't think the teachers union should exist because teachers, I don't think that government, that unions should exist for government employees. That's just my personal opinion. And the teachers union is a highly politicized employee
exactly.
union. I don't know if, I don't know if I can be as anti-union as I once was. And I think that we're kind of in a cycle right now, and I'm no expert on this, so I'm spitballing a little bit here, all right? I've never been part of a union because it just doesn't really exist in my industry much, especially in the smaller towns and in smaller markets. Maybe some of the big cities used to have some of that. But essentially, since the 1970s, 1980s, it has been a continuing capital, I would say. The capital and companies have had the upper hand for quite some time. There was when I got out of school, I was part of a very large class. It was a big baby boomer bump, and there were lots of people. And it between that and the corporate control and the anti-union push, it kept a lot of salaries down here. And I think that's kind of flipping in some ways and power going back to labor a bit here because now we have fewer people or younger generations are smaller, you know, than the baby boomers. And I don't know, maybe the union is the smart way to go at this point and just a shift of power from capital to labor in this case. Do you think there might be a case to be made there?
Well, I think if you could take the politics out of the union, and put it back to being a union for the people and the employees.
Yeah, in other words, having union leaders that actually cared about their union workers rather than going to the Capitol Hill shrimp fests, right, and being invited
exactly.
to all the good parties. Yeah, okay, maybe you got a good point there, all right? 770-5633, thanks for making it, Earl. We go to line two. Good morning. Hi, who's this? Good morning.
Is that me, Bill?
Yes.
Is that me?
Yeah, hey, David, what's on your mind?
Yeah, not too bad. Yeah, I was interested more in the GOP convention, but it's funny you mentioned that they spotted the shooter. I'm not sure if you said 23 minutes or
yeah, like 23, 24, almost up to a half hour prior to it, which is a little concerning, no matter who you're guarding, you know?
Yeah, well, there was some mention that an officer, and it sounded like it was a local police officer, had him walking down the road with his rifle and stopped him because of that. But because of the local laws that say that open carry is legal, mm-hmm. he wasn't able to stop him.
Huh. So, I would have been a little suspicious at that, though. I had not read that.
Sure.
Boy, where'd you see that? I'm just kind of curious, David. Could you share?
It was mentioned on another station. He was not on the roof. He was on the street. And this whole thing about that you mentioned about carrying a ladder, buying a ladder the same day and then carrying it up to the same building that the police have stationed themselves in, that really gets into some negligence. Were the cops all inside just drinking beers and eating donuts, or
gosh, you hope not, right? You don't want to think that, because and it's like it's no matter your opinion on the candidate involved, whether it was RFK, Trump, Biden, whatever it is, you would hope that a serious people would take something like this seriously, you know, on matter.
It's funny, you know, with the assassination of Lincoln, they used a Pinkerton guy. I guess it was all privatized back then, but he was down the street at a bar when the shooting happened. And I've forgotten his name, but he goes down in history as being in a bar when Lincoln was killed. You know, regarding the convention, though, last night.
Yeah.
You know, the Republicans are pushing this idea of tariffs. Oh, America doesn't need to have taxes anymore. We'll just tax the goods, tariffs on goods.
Yeah, it's kind of a return to, kind of a back to the future, because that's how the country really funded itself for a long, long time back in the early days of the Republic. Yeah.
Right. And so it's back to the same old scam where the rich don't want to pay taxes and they want to put a sales tax on the average person. And if you're keeping up, they've been pushing this for the last 5 years where they want to have a federal, like a 30% sales tax on everything. And so when you go to the grocery,
but also eliminate the, but you're talking about the fair tax, I think, or something familiar to that, or right. Even a value added tax. The difference, though, is that you eliminate the income taxes, too. That's the only thing you have to mention.
And so since the rich, you know, with billions, hundreds of billions of dollars worth of, you know, whether Elon Musk can lose $40 billion in a single day, there's no way that he's going to have sales tax when he buys goods from one of his other corporations. Mm-hmm. There's no good. There's not going to be a value-added tax when a corporation buys from one of its subsidiaries. And so it's another way of suckering the average person into paying more taxes. And the rich, I like to use the expression representation without taxation, that the rich now get to buy Congress and not pay taxes. So America was founded on taxation with representation, that the average person has a say in how Congress is run. But now the super rich, or the Republicans, let's say, want to push the opposite.
Yeah, except that, you know, the parties have kind of flipped in some ways, though, David, oddly enough. Democrat Party is actually the real party of the so-called rich or the capitalist kind of thing right now. And Republicans, you know, of course, sit there and kick and kiss the behind of that, but yet they're not necessarily supported by that group. I mean, you see what's going on with high tech, Musk being the rare exception. Your point is well taken, though, that, let's be honest. You know, David, when was the last time you wrote a check to a lobbyist on your behalf? You better get in line.
And then they get to write it off as a business expense.
Yeah.
So they get a tax break for lobbying.
You'll be happy to know, though. You'll be happy to know this, though. All right. That there's a bipartisan group of senators that are working really hard to truly crack down on some of the abuse of Congress there, to ban lawmakers' stock trading, in which you have the lobbyists come there, you cut deals, you take your campaign contributions, all when you happen to know where certain things are going to be going legislatively, and then you legally do insider trading. People like you and me would go to jail for what Congress critters get rich on, okay?
That's Citizens United.
Right? Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's necessarily Citizens United, because, yes, corporations composed of people also would have a speech right, too. So I don't know if I can go with you on that, but you and I agree on some of this, okay? Appreciate the call. Let me continue on. I got a full bore, all right? And Herman's going to be calling me in a few minutes. I got to talk about those Joe County issues. Good morning. Hi, who's this? Welcome. Hello.
Hey, Bill. Is this me?
Yes, it is.
Steve in Sunny Valley.
Hello, Steve. Welcome back.
A couple of things. I've been a Teamster when I was an engineer for the railroad.
You was involved in all sorts of union activity there, huh?
Oh, yeah. And the BLET, that's the Brotherhood of Locomotive Engineers and Teamsters, went to join the trainmen, I should say, went to the Teamsters because the trainmen and the engineers, the conductors and engineers unions fought each other for dues. that they weren't there to protect the workers. They were there to get the dues, because it used to be five people on a train and went down to two people on the train, but the union didn't downsize.
Interesting. So, well, you see, that's just kind of it. And you knew technology was going to drive some of that, technology and efficiencies. You know, back when there were five people on a train, there wasn't the tech available to do that. Now you got the little flashing, what do they call that, the Fred device?
Fred, yes, the F and rear end device.
That's what that is? The F and rear end device, okay. That
because
flashes.
It took three guys' job.
Yeah.
All it does is monitor the air pressure and the brake line and whether or not the thing's moving.
Yeah.
I was also a member of the union when I was an aircraft mechanic at American Airlines. And all I can tell you this is unions are just something that stands between you and what you want to do as far as the job goes. They are there to protect the people who ought not be working because they're too incompetent.
And you're saying that has been my concern, my major concern with unions. It's not about about getting the highest pay for good people. It's about making sure that there's a minimum wage for lousy workers in many cases. Not always. And so the best person there doesn't make any more than the dimmest bulb on the crew.
And the truth is that benefits were offered by companies before unions to keep good employees without having to pay more taxes. That's why benefits were developed, mm-hmm. not because unions fought for them.
It's a really good point. Thanks for making it.
Yep.
770-5633. Let me go to line three. Hi, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Super Dave off in Idaho Falls.
Hello, Dave in Idaho.
Hey, so a couple callers back, they were talking about the policeman meeting the gunman walking down the road mm-hmm. with his rifle and all that.
I've not read that story. I've not seen that story.
Yeah, I can't say that I've read it, but I have heard it on different hosts and such.
Okay.
The point I want to bring up with that is a law enforcement officer can also, you know, if you're driving 65 on a 65 and it's foggy, can give you a ticket for driving above the conditions. If you're carrying a rifle next to a presidential rally, I would think that goes to the point of, hey, I understand you're carrying a rifle here, but you're not going to do that here because someone could get excited and you could become the victim because they see a rifle. So take your rifle home, go away, that kind of a story.
There does seem to be a surprising lack of curiosity on that, and that's...
Yeah.
It's rather chilling. Of course, I don't know. Maybe you have police officers there that were concerned about, okay, we got to watch out for the liability. I don't know.
Yeah. And then that's it. Because of the lawfare that goes on now, everybody's worried about what's going to happen. And that really squishes a lot of things because first thing you think is, am I going to get sued?
Yeah. Well, you have to understand that some guy carrying around a rifle could have been just as easily going on to a George Floyd commemorative or memorial riot. And, you know, and you couldn't stop them from going out there and peacefully protesting with a rifle.
There you go. Yeah.
All right, Super Dave. Let me go to Gene. Hello, Gene. You wrap up here. Morning.
Okay, well, back in the days when I used to work at the mill, there's a couple of union heads come out to visit me. And I simply told them, why would I want to pay for more people to sit around watching me work?
You said that at the time, huh?
Yeah, they looked pretty pissed, but then again, I didn't care because I'm that kind of a guy.
We appreciate that, Gene. Thanks for the call. 738. Herman standing by. We're going to catch up on the rest of the news. Bill London and more. And then we're going to see what's happening in Joe County with resignations and a bunch more. Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
If you have DirecTV or cable TV, call me today to see how I can save you money. Plus, I'll lower your internet and cell phone bills.
And those offers in the mail from Dish, you can go through No Wires Now for those.
Call me at 541-680-5875.
Call Charisse like I did or visit their showroom off Biddle Road in Medford, nowiresnow.com. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Internet and cell phone service not provided by Dish.
American Rancher Garage United is service. American Rancher Garage services most vehicles and offers state-of-the-art amenities, affordable pricing, and prompt service you can trust. If you're looking for a reliable, full-service automotive repair shop that provides old-fashioned service to keep you and your busy life moving, you've found it right here, just across the street from Elmer's on Biddle. Call, stop by, or text us through our website at AmericanRancher.com. 541-499-6673. American Rancher Garage, we are united through service.
Oregon E-Deals has saved the Rogue Valley boatloads of cash over the years, and they aren't stopping. Get a Lithia body and paint certificate, normally $500, now only $300. Artisan Bakery certificates, normally $25, only $15. American Rancher Garage, $75 certificates, good for any service, only $40. This and much more available exclusively at OregonEDeals.com.
I'm hooked on OregonEDeals.com. I'm saving big.
Longer days and warming weather means more time outside. Terra Firma Foundation Systems wants you to know if your outdoor patio is uneven, cracked, settling, or separating, Terra Firma can help. Restore your sunken concrete in just a few hours. The foam technology settles underneath and lifts your concrete. It's fast and affordable and improves the look and safety of your patios and pathways. Get your outdoor spaces ready with Terra Firma. Visit GoTerraFirma.com. That's GoTerraFirma.com. CCB 173547.
News is sponsored by Millette Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. Get on solid ground by visiting MilletteConstruction.com.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. A fugitive wanted since February for domestic abuse and abandoning two children, a six-month-old and a one-and-a-half-year-old in the woods, has been arrested after a high-speed chase. Jackson County deputies arrested Justin Trompeter after a 120-mile-an-hour chase that started at a Medford Jack-in-the-Box and ended in a crash south of Grants Pass. He's facing a long list of charges, including a 2019 parole violation. As large fires continue to grow in eastern Oregon, firefighters mostly have the Salt Creek Fire northeast of Bedford under control. It's been holding at 4,100 acres and is 60% contained, with a number of evacuation notices being canceled Monday afternoon. The Oregon Business Report says a May survey of 649 hiring managers shows 40% of employers have posted fake job listings in the last year to boost morale, alleviate employee concerns over heavy workloads, and suggest company growth. Bill London, KMED.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros on Main Street in Phoenix.
At Siskiyou Pump Service and Rotary Drilling Company, we provide well water services to your home and business from field to tap. Our drilling team will construct your water well, and our technicians at Siskiyou Pump Service can take it from there with pump installation, water filtration systems, and installation of a holding tank if needed. Siskiyou Pump Service and Rotary Drilling Company are here for you with complete well water services from field to tap, serving the Rogue Valley for over 50 years. Visit us at siskiyoupump.com.
Hi, it's Jolene with Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros. We've got summer savings on quality Continental tires. Through August, get a $110 Visa prepaid card in the mail when you purchase a set of qualifying tires for your truck, SUV, or van. And there's 16 different popular styles to choose from, including Cross Contact, 4x4 Contact, Terrain Contact, and Premium Contact. Continental is one of our most recommended tire brands, so if you need a set for your truck, SUV, or van, come see us at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros in Phoenix.
The song Our House by Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young only reached number 30 on the Billboard Hot 100 in 1970, but it stands the test of time. If you have a very, very, very fine house, Millette Construction wants to help you keep it that way. So if the vase that you bought today looks a bit tilted on the table, it might be a sloping floor due to a shifting foundation. Call Millette Construction for an inspection and estimate to permanently correct the issue so your house stands the test of time, too. MilletteConstruction.com.
The cinnamon roll French toast at Diner 62 is so deliciously decadent and sinful, it's illegal in six states.
Hey, you've heard me say that cell phone service with Pure Talk is half the cost of Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile. $20 a month, you get unlimited talk and text, plenty of data, and you think, okay, Hannity, what's the catch? Well, there isn't one. Just ask the thousands of listeners who have made the switch of mine, and they love Pure Talk and their U.S. customer service, the great coverage on America's most dependable 5G network. Dial #250, say the keyword save now to start saving now on your cell phone plan.
Hi, I'm Steven with Steven Westfall Roofing Inc., and I'm on KMED.
743. Josephine County Commissioner Herman Bertschinger comes on. And I think it's appropriate that we use the Brothers Osborne here. It ain't my fault. No matter what, it ain't my fault, Herman. It's not my fault. It's not my fault.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, yeah, I know we're talking about what happened yesterday. We had Josephine County Commissioner Dan DeYoung resigned, essentially, effectively, immediately. You know, ended up resigning. And you pointed out something to me. I just automatically assumed that this had to do with the... How do we put this? Had to do with the sit on my lap comment, which was a very unfortunate phrase to be using in a meeting like that with a other employee of the county at that point. And
it's just make sure, Bill, that officially it's a sexual harassment remarks. That's the official.
That's the official sexual harassment remarks. There are just certain things you can't do. It's not madman day. It's not the madman kind of day. You don't walk over by a female as a guy and slap her on the behind like they did back in the early 60s in some cases, right? You just don't do that kind of stuff. You just don't.
No.
Not. And by the way, I'm not claiming that I'm pining for those days, okay? Because believe me, I'm married to a really strong woman. If I tried doing that to her, I'd be in big trouble. Anyway. Be that as it may, though, it is interesting that you said read the statement here, and he said this has been an incredibly tough decision for me. But over the past 18 months, I have come to realize that I am no longer able to contribute effectively to the well-being of this wonderful community. Okay, now that has nothing to do with the sexual harassment, right?
Nope. He doesn't mention anything about the sexual harassment allegation in his resignation.
Okay. Then what does it mean then?
Well, Commissioner West has been in there for 18 months, and I think Commissioner Young feels like it's been two against one.
Oh.
Sadly, if you look at the vote, Commissioner DeYoung has been a descending vote at times. Mm-hmm. I have been a descending vote at times, and Commissioner West has been a descending vote at times. I do not see anything where it's two against one when it comes to voting, okay? At a budget, even in budget committee, Commissioner DeYoung, Commissioner Bertschinger voted for the budget. Commissioner West voted against the budget. So I don't know exactly, you know, where he's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
However, I find it absolutely unusual that somebody's going to have a press conference a day later after they resign. It's usually the other way around.
Yeah, you do the resignation at the press conference, right? That kind of
thing. So I don't know what's motivating. I know, I don't know if it's personal issues. There's been I've seen a level of frustration with him. I can't point to, and I can't tell you what it is.
Well, were there any particular issues that perhaps Commissioner DeYoung championed that Commissioner West and yourself were always?
Pipe fork is a good example.
Oh, okay. So he was a big one pushing pipe fork, the pipe fork land transfer there, land sale, right?
Right. That's correct.
All right. Now, you kind of derailed that, didn't you?
Well, I wouldn't say it's derailed. It's just, you know, they've always advocated if you go back, rewind the tape, look at the meetings, look at the testimony, they've always said the reason they want to purchase this and then to sell it to the BLM is so it wouldn't be logged and it would be open to the public.
Now, the problem, though, is that the BLM told you that they couldn't guarantee that that would be the case, right?
That's right. So I said, well, that's easy. We'll just put a deed restriction in there that it is. And I told the Pipe Fork people, I told everybody, I will be glad to sign the paperwork to transfer that property to the Conservation Fund as long as there's a deed restriction, because that's the only surety that it'll remain open to the public. That's same thing we did on the Sportsman Park, Bill.
But the way I understand it, if I understand this correctly, I want to make sure that the motivation of many of the people in the Pike Fork or wanting the Pike Fork land to be sold was not to keep it open to the public, but was just essentially to lock it away from the public, And I'm wondering if that was what you know, was kind of the unspoken truth about pipe fork.
Well, it is interesting. The later test of the most recent testimony is contrary to the early testimony from the people advocating for the transfer.
Okay, so early on they advocated keeping it open, right? So people could go and use it.
Right, and now they said, well, we wouldn't care if BLM logged it. That was a statement from a Pipe Fork supporter.
Uh-huh.
Another Pipe Fork reporter says, I don't care if it's open to the public and they lock it up, as long as we preserve it for its natural beauties and attributes.
Okay. So the standard gangrene operating thing of something is beautiful and no one can ever see it. Got it. Okay. All right.
Yeah. And so I just kind of scratched my head and like I told them, and so one of the promoters said, oh, Bertschinger misrepresented us. Go rewind the tape. I did it last week, and it's easy to do on our website. You just go on our website, you look at the different Wednesday meetings, you look at the minutes, then in the minutes it'll show people and what they're advocating or what they're against, and then you can go watch the tape right to those minutes. It's not that hard to do. And so, yeah, they just changed their tune. So now all of a sudden, it's not, you know, it's always been, it's not okay for Josephine County to log it, but now it's okay if BLM selectively logs it, okay? They're okay with that.
Well, now, honestly, though, that would just be taking money out of Josephine County coffers, right? If you were to just keep it on the books, right?
And remember, we were selling it at a $400,000 discount, and that's a little troubling because our charter says that the commissioners have to utilize these transactions in the highest value on behalf of the citizens of Josephine County. So, you know, we're probably stretching that a little bit.
Hmm. What about the politically favored nonprofit class?
Well, that's another thing. You know, really the only way we can liquidate properties is through sheriff auction. That's by statute, with the caveat of nonprofits, which is by statute. Nonprofits, you can do a transaction without having to put it up for auction.
All right, I'm going to ask the obvious question. What's wrong with keeping it just on the county books? What's wrong with keeping that land?
I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
Okay.
And I would still transfer it as long as there's a deed restriction that meets the goal of the people that are advocating for the transfer.
Is it a pretty place? I've never been to Pike Fork.
Yeah, it's, you know, there's all kinds of places like that in Southern Oregon, but it is kind of a nice place. There's a little waterfall there, and Pike Fork Creek runs into East Fork, and East Fork runs into Williams, and the Williams runs into the Applegate, and the Applegate runs into the Rogue River, and the Rogue River runs into the Pacific.
Okay. Well, maybe what you can do then is make some money, put up a cell tower there. I'm just kidding. Put up a cell tower there, right? Boy, they'd love that, wouldn't they? The folks there.
Right. And you know, when I look back over the testimony, it's hard to count past 20 people advocating for this transaction. So you got 88,000 people in the county, and you only have 20. And those 20 people, they did testify multiple times over the last 4 years. But as far as new faces testifying, that's about what you only get.
All right. Now, the other bone of contention has been the rejection of funding the OSU Extension Service in Josephine County, 4-H, all the rest of the stuff. And now I guess that the Extension Service goes away, that funding's going to go away. Has there been reaction to that so far?
You know, not a lot. I had a lady stop by the office yesterday, and she came in and she said, well, who's going to inspect my pressure cooker? And I said, well, I don't know how to answer that.
Okay, I'm going to ask a really dumb question this part. Maybe this is dumb, but how did we ever inspect pressure cookers before the OSU Extension Service came to town?
Yeah, exactly. So she said, you guys got rid of OSU Extension Service. And I said, ma'am, I said, you realize that almost all the children have left the 4-H program, okay? Now, they created this clover buds for kids under 9, because to be in 4-H, it's 9 to 19.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know exactly all the details to that. It sounds just a little foggy. But anyways, basically, the livestock, and if you look at the ballot measure and read it, it was all about 4-H kids and livestock. They've all left and went to the Josephine County Youth for Ag, or Ag for Youth, or whatever that is.
Well, they didn't want to be part of the OSU wokesters, I guess, because everything right, exactly. You see about the OSU Extension Service is all politicized, really.
Right, and they didn't want the politics, so they went and started their own thing. They have their own auction, their own everything, and it is, to be honest, it's much more successful than what the Oregon Extension Service was. When you look at the value in the auctions and everything, and the Grants Pass Active Club is running the auctions. And anyway, so they've left. And I asked this lady, she was an elderly lady, I asked her, I says, do you realize that budget was about $1.5 to $1.7 million?
Mm-hmm.
And all you have left is, I think, 6 children in the 4-H livestock program. And you have about 100 people in Master Gardeners. And, that's not full-time, plus they pay for it. And I says, do you think that $1.7 million is reasonable to use with taxpayer dollars, responsible to use taxpayer dollars? And she said, absolutely, because I need my pressure cooker tested.
Oh, so it's just what she wants. You know, that ends up working out, if you do the quick back of the cocktail napkin mathematics here, about $17,000 for every adult in the Master Gardeners program. $17,000 of tax money going into that. And what that tells you, and given that you already mentioned that Master Gardener ends up paying most for the program mostly with their fees, what this is really doing is paying for personnel at the very woke Oregon State University Extension world. That's what it's all about.
It's very top heavy in personnel and the wages and the trips and the this and the that. It's very top heavy, in my opinion.
Now, what's happening in Josephine County, I'm kind of curious why there seems to be no question about doing it in Jackson County. Is it a different world? I don't know if you know the difference or not.
You have to have the right players that commit themselves to doing these things and to start, start these different clubs and stuff. And, maybe they just don't have the people stepping up in Jackson County. We have some great people here in Josephine County that has taken this on. And they've also, they also have reached out to the 6 children in the 4-H program. They've reached out, to make sure that they know they're very welcome into the Josephine County Youth for Ag. And so I think that
it might just go away entirely. But what I was getting at here, though, is that if it's all woke H, if it was 4 woke H in Joe County, it's obviously 4 woke H in Jackson. It must be. Otherwise, I don't.
They do things different in Jackson County. I don't know. I'm not there.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm just asking. All right.
Bill, next week when we talk, I want to talk about, that's the reason the national debt's $34 trillion is Americans across this country have always started, whatever. We need free this. We need free tuition. We need free housing.
Oh, well, it's the poison of socialism writ large here, like the elderly woman saying, who's going to inspect my, who's going to inspect my pressure cooker, as if that's a government function. But this is what has happened. We've all been corrupted bit by bit over decades, really, Herman, about this thinking.
Yeah, I need something. I must get it from government.
Yeah.
So, I've said it for a long time in the Senate and everything. It's a lot of nice people doing nice things with other people's money. So that's kind of how, and that's why we're in this war. I don't think your listeners out there really understand the effects of $34 trillion in debt is going to do for the next several generations.
I know. And Jerome Powell was saying, I was just talking about that a few minutes ago in a interview that he had. And Jerome Powell was saying that it's kind of a fake thingy because he says, well, the debt's not unsustainable, but the trajectory that we're on is. And yeah, you exactly. look at that. And what that's also telling you is that it doesn't matter if it's Trump or Biden coming in. Treasury yields are looking the same, you know?
Yeah, I don't care who's going to be president. You're still staring at $34 trillion. And now the interest is so high, it makes up the biggest expense of the federal government.
Yeah.
So, you know, and you have to remember all the people that are benefiting from the interest, not just people in America, but countries and people all over the world, that doesn't go into our gross domestic product. That income is not part of that calculation. So it does nothing for our gross domestic product. It amazes me. And I still see people saying, oh, we need the county to do this. We need the county to do that. And I says, with what money?
Well, I just know that I need things inspected by the government. I have a pressure cooker. I should take it over to OSU in Jackson County while I still have one because, you know, it might be going away. I'm just kidding. You're Herman. You know how that goes.
No, in all seriousness, you know, we have people always talking about the county needs to do this. And I said, well, what funds, you know? I mean, you can't hardly pass a levy here. And the reason is, I pointed out in a director's meeting, almost a couple weeks ago, I was looking at some statistics in that the Chamber of Commerce put out, and the average income in Josephine County is $29,800, and the average house is $397,000. And I looked at all of our directors. I said, first of all, there's nobody in this room that makes $29,000. And two, how does a person making 20, that's the average income. That means there's a lot more under that, Bill. So how does a person that's only making $29,800 buy a house that costs $397,000?
They don't. They're probably in Section 8 government housing.
Right. This is the problem. Wake up.
I appreciate that, Herman. Hey, Herman, thanks for being on here. Let me grab someone's been on hold. I think they may have a question for you. So we'll see before we take off. You want to talk to Herman, or are you just here for something else?
I sure do. Good morning, Herman. This is Mark Seligman. How you doing?
Uh-oh.
Good.
Yeah, hey, Mark. You know, you're sounding more and more like me. This is what I've said every time I ran for commissioner. This is what I'm saying for state rep. Your figures are right on. And
I said maybe Mark, you're sounding more like me.
No, let's have an argument
like you.
About that.
I sounded like you 10 years ago. Okay, all right. But anyway, I see that Commissioner DeYoung is resigning, and I guess you can confirm I'm the only one in that whole room that urged him to resign, and he said I'm not resigning. You can recall me. Isn't that correct?
That is correct. He did say that.
And the reason he's resigning is what?
Well, his resignation says he hasn't been effective in the last 18 months. His resignation says nothing about the comment to our finance director.
Right. But coincidentally, that's probably why. And, you know, from both sides of the aisle, if the Democrats, who I have complete disagreement in my party now, they back him. And remember, they don't even realize who they're backing. Here's the guy that was all against vaccines, and the Democrats wanted the vaccine. Here's a guy that was for every single tax they ever wanted. And, you know, the Democrats backed that. And now they don't say a word about sexual harassment. It's just very interesting.
I'm very surprised because all the leadership in the party are females, to the best of my knowledge. And they, you know, the Republicans have came out and criticized Commissioner DeYoung for his comments, but not the Democrats. I'm surprised also, Mark.
All right. Hey, Mark, I appreciate the call. I'm just running short on time, but I appreciate you weighing in on this one. That's an interesting observation. Hey, Herman, how does DeYoung get replaced? What's the process for that?
So, you know, we're going to ask for people to submit their names that are interested in serving for 5 months, and then Commissioner West and I will sit down and go through those and probably interview some of those people and then make a decision. I think the tone is to get it done quickly because we believe that we need to get this spot occupied as soon as possible so we can continue going on and governing Josephine County.
All right. Be well, Herman. We'll talk soon. Be well. Okay.
All right. Take care, Bill.
Joe County Commissioner Herman Bertschinger.